Well, Friday, 5 p.m., another weekend rolls around. Time for American
double
Hit Radio.
Happy hour.
It is triple happy hour, Friday, 5 p.m. It comes a weekend and time for American Hit Radio. All that. I'm Tom Ryan. That, of course, was my lovely wife and co-host, Heidi Morales Ryan, sneaking in on the microphone every now and then. We're, been listening of late, you would know what we're doing lately on the How Music Changed series that we do Fridays at 5. We've been listening to all of the music from the Anthology of American Folk Music, this fabulously interesting collection that was compiled by a man named Harry Smith. And we've played 8 shows already, 8 hours of music. Today, were it not for the fact that there was a 4th edition that was tacked on to Harry Smith's Anthology of American Folk Music that was released actually in the year 2000, almost a full decade after his death. I don't even know the real true story about that. I'm going to be finding that out before next week. Although I've had that album, that collection, for about 25 years now. But if it weren't for that, our story would end here with show number 9. So today's show then is technically the last show of songs compiled by Harry Smith himself, at least the ones that were released in his own lifetime. To my ears, it sounds like he wanted to end his series with a bang, and many of the songs featured herein, I feel, are highlights of the set and feature a few songs whose longevity is quite obvious to any serious record collector. Now, we're going to start with a song by Blind Lemon Jefferson, who, this is rather interesting. I think Blind Lemon Jefferson is the artist who gets the most attention out of anybody by Harry Smith. I think is the only artist that appears 3 times. We played him, actually he ended our show last week, and he was part of our show the week before that. Or maybe we played him twice last week. Anyway, recently he got 2 plays. But his most famous song is the one that we're about to play now. And in Harry Smith's own words, the way that, because he always writes a little compilation of the songs in his books, he says this: in Walter and Birds, wasn't it sad about Lemon, which is actually a song about the death of Blind Lemon Jefferson, after mentioning that Jefferson was born in Texas and died on the streets of Chicago, they sing that the last tune that he recorded was See That My Grave Is Kept Clean. The master number of this record also seems to indicate that it was made at his last session. Interestingly, on the other side of that record, See That My Grave Is Kept Clean, the B-side is a track by Reverend Emmett Dickinson. And that is actually a homily that parallels the life of Jefferson with that of Christ. See That My Grave Is Kept Clean is often known as 2 white horses in a line, and almost always, as here, imitates the tone of a church bell at one point, as he says. Now, poor Blind Lemon Jefferson is now seen as one of the most important early figures of the blues in the world. He's one of the most, the earliest and Texas blues musicians that we're aware of that actually was able to record. And yet he died a poor man, freezing to death on the streets of Chicago. Didn't even have a way to get shelter for himself, which is just so incredibly sad. And now he's honored so much, but there's nothing that we can do about the past at this point, obviously. But what we can do is honor his talent. And we can play the song that is the song that is his legacy now. See That My Grave Is Kept Clean.
What a one-kind favor I asked of
But it's one can't be my ass of you. Lord, it's one can't be my last of you. See, that's my greatest campaign. It's a long lane, got no end. It's a long lane, it's got no end. It's a long lane, ain't got no end. Then it's a bad wind that never change. All it do but hold it in a line. All it do but hold it in a line. All it do but hold it in a line. Wanna take me to my burying ground. My heart stopped beating, my hand got cold. My heart stopped beating, my hand got cold. Well, my heart stopped beating, Lord, my hand got cold. It wasn't no more trouble, but it's not before. Have you ever heard a coffin sound? Have you ever heard a coffin sound? Have you ever then you know that the poor boy is in the ground. Oh, dig my baby with a silver spade. Well, dig my grave with a silver spade. Well, dig my grave with a silver spade. You may leave me down with a golden chain. Have you ever heard a church bell tone? Have you ever heard a church bell tone? Have you ever heard a church bell tone? Then you know that the poor boy didn't go.
That song's been covered by a lot of people. A lot, but I don't think anybody can really catch the real poignancy of it quite as well as Blind Lemon Jefferson did with his performance, which is exactly the point of what Harry Smith is about, you know, the poignancy of what these songs are about and their validity, even after nearly 100 years of time. That song itself is 98 years old now since it's been recorded. And I was just doing a little bit of research while that song was playing, and I realized that our next artist is actually tied for the record of number of songs that appear credited to them on American, the Anthology of American Folk Music. I didn't quite get it the first time because they don't always play as a pair. Joe Falcon appears three times as the artist, but, well, once he appears as a solo artist. Twice, he appears as Clemo Bro with Joe Falcon. And, well, once as Clemo Bro and Joe Falcon, and this time the credit is Clemo Bro with Joe Falcon and Ophi Bro, which is another family member. They are obviously the kings and queen of Cajun music in Louisiana. Pretty much responsible for starting the Cajun record market around Lafayette and however far it expanded from there. They were pretty much, they were the big bang for Cajun music. And we've heard a number of their songs, and now we're going to play a sad one of theirs. It's called C'est Si Triste Sans Lui. Now, I've got terrible French, but I know one thing. I know that triste means sad. So when you translate it into English, I see that it means it is so blue without him. Clemo Bro with Joe Falcon and Ophi Bro. Clem O'Bro, Joe Falcon, husband and wife. Might have been with a cousin, the Ophi Bro. They don't mention what part of the family Ophi's from.
We're going to have to look that up.
I'm very curious. You know, it's funny, Heidi, because a long time ago, I think it might have been before I met you, when I was like record shopping in New Orleans, I found myself in the Cajun section and I saw records for Clem O'Bro and Joe Falcon, and it intrigued me. So I bought it, and I had a very hard time appreciating it, to be honest. It was like before I really – it's like I was probably having the same sort of a feeling that I think that a lot of the listeners who are listening to us do this now might have had. Like, you know, this is tough to enjoy it. It's like, what's going on? I feel like you need to know the history to feel it – to feel its worth. But after a while, I mean, it really did sink in, because I began to really appreciate Cajun music the more that I knew about the history of Louisiana, especially the music that was coming out of Lafayette. And Heidi has a bunch of friends who actually play that music for a living. And we were, you know, hanging out with them and watching what they do and what their lifestyle is was a head turner for me. It was the type of thing that I had such incredible respect for. So the history, obviously, gave it a huge heft when you go back and then you listen to stuff that is that old. And they even like recorded an album about a type of like mellow coffee or something like that, which was meant to sound like what Cajun music was in the 30s when it changed from the type that we're hearing here, which is acoustic music with accordion, when it began to more or less move toward a guitar-oriented type of arrangement, which was welcomed electricity. And that was sort of like the modern change that took place.
Ophi is her brother, according to Wikipedia. Oh,
well done. Thank you. So anyway, yeah, there's a huge history there for Cajun music as well. But now we're going to talk about, this is fascinating to me, a man called Uncle Dave Macon, called the Dixie Dewdrop. David Harrison Macon, born in 1870, lived until 1952, died the year that this anthology was released. It's from McMinnville, Tennessee. It was an early recording star, one of the oldest people that is represented on this anthology of folk music, American folk music. Uncle Dave was the first star of the Grand Ole Opry and one of its most beloved members for the quarter century that he was on the air. His family owned a hotel in Nashville at which many a passing vaudeville musician stayed, and he was undoubtedly influenced by many of these individuals. His performances were filled with enthusiasm, humor, numerous banjo tricks, creating an overall impression that recalls the aesthetics of the Medicine Show. Macon was a proprietor, also, of the Midway Mule and Wagon Transportation Company and hauled materials from town to town, entertaining passers-by as he worked. His professional show business career did not start, though, until he was middle-aged. Many of his songs paint pictures of social and political life in the South. The song that we're going to play today is called Down on the Old Plank Road. It's about working on a Georgia chain gang. Now, that's the summary, but that's not the summary that was made by Harry Smith. Harry Smith, it's a little bit redundant, but it's still worth hearing. Dave Macon, the Dixie Dewdrop, born at Smart Station, Tennessee. He learned his trade in Nashville, where his parents operated the Macon Hotel. We discussed that. A theatrical boarding house. Became a professional entertainer about 1888. Many of the songs he learned before 1900 from workers on the levee and along the Mississippi were recorded among the 100 or so titles that he cut between 1923 and 1938 and are unique among commercial recordings. His descriptions of life on the chain gang here and on the next song that we're going to be playing in a few minutes are two of the most characteristic of a number of songs of this type that he recorded. This is amazing, though, because we're talking about the ages of these recordings. This is, I'm almost certain, the oldest song that I will be playing in this series. If I waited just two more weeks, this song will be 100 years old. This song was recorded on April 14th, 1926. That's about 17 days from where I stand right now airing this program. So if anybody's going to be tuning into this and playing it at some later date on our website, you know this song is already over 100 years old and aging quickly. Here's Uncle Dave Macon with Way Down the Old Plank Road.
Can't see Minoru girl, she goes
Won't get drunk no more on the old plank road. Wow. Uncle Dave, Dave Macon has got to get credit for being one of the founders of country music, one of the people who is responsible for what country music is. Spending a good quarter century working at the Grand Ole Opry from the very from its very beginning and pretty much formulating what that was about and how important it was to define what country music was. Now, this next track is another track by Uncle Dave Macon. His songs often dealt with Southern history. So this song that we're going to play now is about the Coal Creek Rebellion, which took place in East Tennessee in the 1890s. Mining companies would hire convicted laborers to try to break the miners' union. So in an armed rebellion, the miners actually freed the convicts, but rather ironically, the leaders of the rebellion were eventually sent to prison themselves. So Dave Macon wrote a song about the situation. Harry Smith says the following: "This recording, along with a few others in this set, are of a type often referred to as, quote, work songs, because they are structurally adapted to responsive chanting by gang workers." You could say, you know, like if you were like working on a chain gang, that sort of thing. The performances in the present set have been given accompaniments and somewhat refined, but the characteristic leader and chorus pattern survives. The words in this version of Roll Down the Line are more regionalized than most, according to Mr. Harry Smith. Here then is Uncle Dave Macon, once again, with, you might notice, there is a banjo guitar player in the background. His name is Sam McGee, by the way. And this track, by the way, was recorded about 2 years later in July of 1928. It's called Buddy, Won't You Roll Down the Line.
Uh-oh, coming up hard. Way back yonder in Tennessee, the least the convicts out. They worked them in the coal mines against free labor south. Free labor rebelled against it, to win it took some time. But while the lease was in effect, they made them rise and shine. Oh, buddy, won't you roll down the line? Buddy, won't you roll down the line? Yonder come, my darling, coming down the line. Buddy, won't you roll down the line? Buddy, won't you roll down the line? Yonder come, my darling, coming down the line. Every Monday morning, they've got 'em out on time. March them down the Lone Rock, said they look into that mine. March you down the Lone Rock, said they look into that hole. Well, last word the captain say, you'd better get your coal. Oh, buddy, won't you roll down the line? Buddy, won't you roll down the line? Yonder come, my darling, coming down the line. Buddy, won't you roll down the line? Buddy, won't you roll down the line? Yonder come, my darling, coming down the line. The beans, they are half done, the bread is not so well. The meat, it is burnt up, and the coffee's black as heck. But when you get your test done, you're glad to come to talk. For anything you can get to eat, it tastes good on our roll. Oh, buddy, won't you roll down the line? Buddy, won't you roll down the line? Y'all come, my darling, coming down the line. Buddy, won't you roll down the line? Buddy, won't you roll down the line? Gonna come, my darling, coming down the line. The bank boss is a hard man, a man you all know well. And if you don't get your test done, he's gonna give you hallelujah. Tie you to the stock gate, says on the floor you'll fall. Very next time they call on you, you'll bet you'll have your call. Oh, buddy, won't you roll down the line? Buddy, won't you roll down the line? Gonna come, my darling, coming down the line. Buddy, won't you roll down the line? Buddy, won't you roll down the line? Gonna come, my darling, coming down the line.
I think that this is as good a time as any to do a station ID. You're listening to WHPC, WHPC HD, Garden City, New York. The show is American at Radio. We're here Wednesdays and Fridays between 5 and 6 p.m. We do very, very different things on the 2 days, two completely different shows. If you're just a Friday listener, you might be interested to know what we do on Wednesdays. We actually play entire albums on Wednesdays, because I'm in love with albums. I've been in love with albums my whole life, and I'm a little bit perturbed by what happened to albums as of late, with everything being digitized and everybody like joining these different types of digital organization type club things that you can become a member of, and then they arrange set lists for you. And I mean, that's all well and good, and it's cool, but it's not as cool as being able to hear an entire album by an artist that they worked on for 6 months or a year or whatever, however long it took to put a part of their soul into a series of songs to make a project where you were meant to be hearing these things as more or less as a unit. It's wonderful to hear an album. And like I said, playing singles is fantastic, or just hearing a song and moving on. That's all well and good. But you really want to get a story. You really want to feel like what an artist is about. You really need to go a little bit deeper. And that's what we're doing on Wednesdays. So if you haven't heard the Wednesday show, please join us. It's the same time as the show, 5 o'clock. And you do know what we do on Fridays because you're listening now. In 3 more weeks, though, we will be done with this series. And we'll be moving back up to the contemporary part of what we do, which is to say where we move like up to popular artists. I'm getting prepped up to do a series of shows on Pink Floyd. It sounds really strange to say that. We're in the middle of the anthology of American folk music because it's so radically different. It's going to be a really strange change for me. But that will be happening before we get to the end of April. In 4 weeks' time, that'll be when we start doing our coverage of the history of Pink Floyd. Meanwhile, though, back to where we are. With Harry Smith and his anthology of American folk music, which was released on Smithsonian Folkways. And the next track that we're going to play, an artist that we did play once before, I believe, Mississippi John Hurt. I love the story about Mississippi John Hurt, about how he was rediscovered, because that's another thing about what happened with what Harry Smith did. I mean, from what I'm told, Mississippi John Hurt recorded about 12 songs for OK Records in the year 1928. And then he vanished. He was just gone. Harry Smith had some of those 78s, put them on this collection. I'm about to play one of them. What happened at that point in time is that some of the listeners became entranced with the music that Harry Smith put on this box. I'm explaining why this is so important and why I'm covering this now. And as the age of folk music began to develop, people became pretty obsessed with it. And Harry Smith was more or less providing them with a map of what they could more or less discover for themselves. So one listener fell in love with the songs by Mississippi John Hurt and started to look up some of his other songs. And he saw that he had one song that was called Avalon Is My Hometown. So he was so obsessed that he decided that he would go to Avalon, Mississippi, to see if he could find John Hurt living there. And this was around 1953, 1954, something like 30-some-odd years later. Sure enough, he did find him, found him where he was living, and was able to convince him that he could start a second career if he came up north. And that's exactly what happened. Mississippi John Hurt was, next thing you know, he's performing at the Newport Folk Festival. He's playing with the Lovin' Spoonful, although he wrote the song Lovin' Spoonful, which is where they got their name from, which is really nuts. But being able to perform with people like John Sebastian, and he became not a rock star. He didn't really, I don't think he like was very fond of rock music at all. But he loved the fact that he was suddenly being recognized for the first time in his life, because nobody really gave him credit that much for when he released the 12 singles from 1928. They were forgotten. So it's really, imagine how strange it must be to suddenly be famous and important for something that you did when you were in your 20s, and now you're 50 or 60 years old, and people are and you're lauded for what you did, and you're being famous, and you're making records again, and people are buying your records, and you're becoming a star. That's what happened to Mississippi John Hurt. So that's all good. So the track that we're going to play here is a John Henry song that he wrote. There's so many John Henry songs, and these are the words of Harry Smith here. It goes, songs about John Henry are of two general types. There's the ballad, and then there's the hammer song. The ballad tells the story of John Henry. The other songs, of course, are the about the hammer that he uses. Verses of the latter are usually compounded with phrases like, roll on, buddy, but not in the introspective version that is given here by Mississippi John Hurt. Songs that that you might be referring to are songs like 9-Pound Hammer or 9-Pound Hammer Is Too Heavy. These are songs that you might have heard in over the course of time. But here is Mississippi John Hurt. He titled his track Spike Driver Blues.
Take this hammer and cash to my captain. Tell him I'm gone. Tell him I'm gone. Tell him I'm gone. Take this hammer and cash to my captain. Tell him I'm gone. Just tell him I'm gone. I'm sure he's gone. This is the hammer that killed John Henry, but it won't kill me, but it won't kill me, but it won't kill me. This is the hammer that killed John Henry, but it won't kill me, but it won't kill me, ain't gonna kill me. It's a long ways from East Colorado, honey, to my home, honey, to my home, honey, to my home. It's a long ways to East Colorado, honey, to my home, honey, to my home. That's why I'm gone. John Henry, he left his hammer plain side the road, plain side the road, plain side the road. John Henry, he left his hammer all over in rain, all over in rain. That's why I'm gone. John Henry's a steel driving boy, but he went down. But he went down, but he went down. John Henry was steel driving boy, but he went down, but he went down. That's why I'm gone.
What I loved about Mississippi John Hurt, still do, is that he's just got such a clear voice. He's like almost the opposite of what you'd expect from a lot of blues singers who can be real growlers. I mean, and they both have got, can be very effective stylistically. But there's a calmness about Mississippi John Hurt when he sings that I really love. And it can be quite effective.
Me too.
Right? It's a beautiful thing. We are sticking to a little bit of commonality here from things that we've seen already, artists that we've seen already. We did, a while back, play a track by the Memphis Jug Band out of Atlanta. Well, they recorded in Atlanta, Georgia. They were famous for playing on Beale Street because around that time, alcohol was illegal in Tennessee, but for some reason, not illegal on Beale Street in that part of Memphis. I don't know if that was because it wasn't like they... arrest you for drinking? Like, it wasn't, they'll let it go.
As in they'll turn a blind eye?
Yeah, that's the phrase I'm looking for, but I'm forgetting the actual word for it. But yeah, either that or maybe the law just said that it's okay to drink in the city. So that meant, anyway, that a lot of people were going to Beale Street in the 1920s. And there was a lot of music and a lot of drinking. And the Memphis Jug Band were right in the middle of all that action. The two main guys were Will Shade on guitar, Ben Ramey, I believe, or maybe Charlie Burse. It was one of the main guys as well. In this instance, though, at this exact time for the song that we're about to play, the players are Tee Wee Blackman, who is the lead vocalist and guitar player, Will Shades on vocal and harmonica, Charlie Burse on guitar, Ben Ramey is playing vocal and kazoo, and a guy named Jab Jones playing the jug. Now, I figure this is a railroad song and a standard among blues revival performers, again, by the 1960s, when the influence of Harry Smith's Anthology of American Folk Music really began to set in. People were taking some songs, and some of them became like just almost common to hear. I don't know how many people have done versions of K.C. Moon, but I can tell you that it's quite a bit. What does Harry Smith say about it? Oh, he just makes a really short statement. He goes, "The quartet arrangement here of a very well-known work song. The train is a constantly recurring symbol in compositions of this category." Here, then, is a vocal trio with harmonica, kazoo, banjo, jug, and guitar. The Memphis Jug Band performing K.C. Moan.
I thought I heard that kiss float like my woman's on board. Get back on that kissy road. Oh, when I get back on that kissy road. Oh, when I get back on that kissy road. I'm gonna love my baby like I never loved before.
Now, that's something that we haven't heard very much of on the anthology is three-part harmony. The Memphis Jug Band. Sounded very good there. KC Moan. That's the first version, I believe, that was recorded of that song. And if you look deep enough through some of your rock and roll records or your folk records or whatever, you probably find that there's... You probably have a couple of versions of it somewhere if you're a record collector of some sort. Now, we've talked an awful lot about the Bristol, Tennessee Big Bang, the birth of country music. I think I've talked about it at least twice, I think, in this series. That was where there was a meeting of a bunch of different artists who were asked to come and record, and some of them would be chosen to be allowed to record, and they would print records for them, and they would help to basically distribute them and have let them make money. And two of the people that arrived and ended up becoming superstars of country music were both the Carter family and Jimmy Rogers, two of the pioneers, the very pioneers of country music. And it got me to thinking about all the other people that were there. There must have been dozens upon dozens of people who had gone to Bristol for those sessions, for that weekend or whatever it was that when it was supposed to take place. And that's an interesting story because this is exactly what one of the people who were there is our next artist. His name was J.P. Nestor. And this track that I'm about to play is a recording of him in Bristol, Tennessee, on August 1st, 1927, when it was all taking place. So, J. Preston Nestor, born in 1876, recorded four songs at the 1927 session in Bristol, Tennessee, and he never recorded again. He was invited to a second session in New York. He could have had a career, maybe much like Jimmy Rogers or the Carter family. But he refused to leave his home in Hillsville, Virginia. Fiddler Norman Edmonds did continue to play as Uncle Norm with the Old Timers, which is a string band from Galax, Virginia area. He plays the fiddle in the background on this record. And while J.P. Nestor is doing the vocal and playing banjo. The song is called Train on the Island, and it has become a favorite tune in the Virginia, North Carolina region due to the influence of Nestor's recording. It's almost as though he won like the million-dollar chocolate bar and he decided that he wasn't interested in it, and he never showed up at the Willy Wonka factory to cash it in. It's almost like that, because or whatever, however that story works. But I mean, I just think that he probably could have been as famous as some of his other contemporaries had he come back for the second session. So what does Harry Smith say? Well, song is called Train on the Island. He goes, the sound of a train here, interpreted on banjo and violin, goes with a meager vocal adapted from a work song. The artists are probably both from Virginia. Well, that's what we eventually did find out. We know the song, as I said, was recorded in 1927. It makes it 99 years old. Here is J.P. Nestor, the credited artist, with Train on the Island.
Train on Island, sit out here to squeal. Go tell my true lover can't roll the wheel. I can't roll the wheel, oh, but I can't roll the wheel. Thought he had his blow, oh, but thought he had his blow. Train on out of roots and out yet it blow. Go tell my true love, seek and I can't go. Seek and I can't go. I can't roll the wheel. Train on out of roots and out yet it squeal. Go tell my true love, happy I do feel. Thought he had his blow, love, thought he had his blow. Train on, I don't did not hear the blow. Go tell my true love, Lord, I can't go. Lord, I can't go. Lord, oh, yeah, it blow. Tell my true love, sick and I can't go. Sick and I can't go, love, sick and I can't go. I heard it blow, love, though you heard it blow.
There it is. That's J.P. Nestor. Perfect example of what I think is what inspired Harry Smith to want to do this collection is that there were so many people that were living in small towns all over America, especially in the Appalachians, where they didn't really want to leave where they were from. They didn't want to travel or become up to the city to record songs, so they were more than happy to stay put where they were. So if you wanted to get them, you'd have to go to them more or less. And when Harry Smith was, you know, doing this collection, he was looking for exactly those artists to find, you know, the real true essence of American music. The next song, though, is at a rather amazing exception to that rule. It's by a guy named Ken Maynard, known as the American boy's favorite cowboy. Ken Maynard was the very first singing cowboy in the movies, starring in over 300 films. Although he claimed Texas as his home, Maynard was born in Indiana and came to Hollywood in 1923. He had worked as a cowboy, a rodeo and circus performer, and a stuntman, touring with the Kit Carson Show in 1914. Shortly thereafter, he was featured performer with the Ringling Brothers Circus, specializing in rope tricks and trick riding. His first films were silent, and his 1934 film, called An Old Santa Fe, was actually Gene Autry's screen debut. Maynard had one session in 1930 at which 8 songs were recorded. Lone Star Trail, the most popular, came from the 1929 film The Wagon Master. The song, though, dates back to the days of cattle drives. Why would Harry Smith choose this song for his record collection? Well, this is what he says. This passionate description of life is one of the very few recordings of authentic cowboy singing. There you go.
Oh, I am a lonely cowboy, and I'm off on the Texas trail. My train is cinching saddles and pulling bridle reins, but I can twist the lasso with the greatest skill and ease, or rope and ride a bronco most anywhere I please. Oh, I love the rolling prairie that's far from trail and strife. Hind a bunch of longhorns, I'll journey all my life. But if I had a stink boy, soon mad I would be. To the sweetest girl in this wide world just fell in love with me. When we get on the trail, boys, the dusty billows rise. It's 50 miles in water, and the grass is scorching dry. Oh, the boss is mad and ringy, you all can plainly see. I'll have to follow the longhorns, I'm a cowboy here to be. But when it comes to rain, boys, one of the gentle kind, when the lakes are full of water and the grass is waving fine, oh, the boss will shed his frown, boys, and a pleasant smile you'll see. I'll have to follow the longhorns, I'm a cowboy here to be. When we get unbitted, we think down for the night. Some horse will shake his saddle, and it'll give the herd a fright. They'll bound to their feet, boys, and madly stampede away. In one moment's time, boys, you can hear a cowboy sing. Hee-wee-wee. When we get embedded, we feel most inclined. When a cloud will rise in the west, boys, and the fire play on their horns. Oh, the old boss rides around them, your pay you'll get in gold. So I'll have to follow the longhorns until I am too old. Wee wee, wee.
Brings us to the end, which is an artist named Henry Thomas. We played him earlier. He was a black man in his 50s who gives reminiscent of like gives us a feeling of what it might have been like to hear black music from the 19th century. He played the quill and the guitar as well. This song is called Fishing Blues by Henry Thomas. Thanks, folks. We'll see you with set 4 next week.
Back and got me a pole. Went to the hard one, got me a hook. Fished that line right on that hook. Said, you've been fishing all the time. I'm a-going fishing too. bet your life, your loving wife, catch more fish than you. Any fish bite, got good bait, here's a little something I would like to lay. Any fish bite, got good bait, I'm a going fishing, yes I'm going fishing, I'm a going fishing too. I'm a going fishing, yes, I'm going fishing, I'm a going fishing too.